You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, but we're still not totally sure what day it is. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant. Michael F. Florio is off this week, so sitting in, Laquan Jones. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Welcome back. Yeah, this is awesome, man. I mean, I love to talk ball with you guys.
So. Yeah, man. It's good to have you back. Of course, if you don't know Laquan, one, where you been? he was on with us just a few weeks ago, but you can find him on Twitter at RealDealFantasy. He also is one of our researchers here at NFL Network. Yes, what else are you doing, man? You've got multiple things going on.
Man, I just been hanging low key. You know what I mean? I've just been kind of taking a step back, and I'm still behind the scenes grinding, doing the notes and staying up to date. But, you know, I've been kind of chilling and enjoying this little LA summer that we're about to
get. Yeah, well, you know, it's about to be summer, right? I was telling you the other day, you have not had a real, by the way, before I get into all of that, we are in studio. So we've got Josh and Susie here. Please give yourselves a round of applause. Yay!
What up?
No, but I was telling you the other day, you and I were also on a live stream mock draft pod with Joe Pisapia and Andrew Erickson and the guys over at Fantasy Pros. And I was saying that, you know, one of these years, you're going to get an actual normal LA summer where last year when you first moved here, it was ungodly hot.
160 degrees every
day. Unseasonably warm, even for Los Angeles. This year, it's been sort of cool and cloudy and overcast. But the sun's starting to come out, and I think now that today is the official first day of summer, I think summer is going to happen.
Yeah, because it felt like Jersey weather with all the rain and stuff. It's kind of cold, and it's like 40 degrees in the morning. I'm like, I move back?
No, exactly. I'm just like, you know, I petitioned Governor Gavin Newsom. I'm like, I don't pay my tax dollars for this. I need you to fix it. Make it be Los Angeles again.
Normal.
So I think we're actually heading that way. Enough of that, because I'm sure there are people in other parts of the country where it is triple digits. Who are like, you know, just shut up. And actually, on if you were out there, I know it is dangerously hot in some places in the country. So please, stay safe.
Hydrated.
Try to stay cool. Hydrate for sure. And just try to be well wherever you are. Anyway. Thought today we would talk about what I'm calling black box offenses. These are offenses that when it comes to drafting, we don't have a real idea. Maybe we do, but there's nothing that immediately jumps out at us. These are offenses that last year were not particularly good, and we're trying to figure out where maybe we can go. So I pulled some headlines relating to each of these teams, and we'll sort of dive into those. Plus, we're not doing Florio's Film Festival this week because, well, Florio's not here, but we do have a movie-themed game that brought to us courtesy of Laquan. We're calling it Keep, Trade, or Cut. Ooh. We'll explain a little bit more. We get to that near the end of the show. But let's start with a little bit of news because there have been some headlines even here in the middle of June.
Which some pretty good ones, too.
We have some pretty good ones because this is, I would say this, the NFL offseason, I'm using air quotes for those of you who can't who can't see us right now, literally runs from about maybe the start of June to about the middle of July.
There you go. Yeah. Camp.
And now that mini camps are over, everybody has sort of scattered to the winds. This is sort of the deadest period of the summer, but we do still have some news. News-ish, news-like substance. We'll call it that, huh? First in Detroit, Amon-Ra St. Brown says he wants to be used more as a downfield pass catcher. Ooh. And there are some indications that he is sort of trying to adjust his skill set a little bit and kind of build himself out to be more of a downfield threat.
Yeah.
Now, we all love the sun god. Amon-Ra's been amazing his first couple of years, and we no longer have to have the conversation about whether he is hashtag good or not.
Yeah.
We all sort of know. This is a guy that's coming off the board early second round. If you're feeling really frisky, maybe you reach for him at the tail end of the first round.
Yeah.
He's been amazing his first couple of years. We think of him as a wide receiver one, but he's been a guy that's worked sort of underneath. Our pal Matt Harmon calls him Bud Light Cooper Kupp because he sort of works that area. I want him to get a beer upgrade. I want him to be something better than Bud Light. Anyway, if he starts to become that downfield threat, if he becomes a guy who starts picking up more splash plays, more big chunk plays instead of run after the catch, does this mean we're possibly underdrafting Amon-Ra?
Right now, I think we kind of are, but not by much. You know, I think I would take Amon-Ra before CeeDee Lamb or Davante Adams, and it's kind of close for me with Garrett Wilson. But when it comes to the ranks and the back end of like that top 10 wide receiver list, like I honestly have been taking him on the turn in that 112 spot, snagging Wilson or AJ Brown to pair with him. You know what I mean? So that's like a good little combination you can get in the end of draft. But you know, wide receiver 10 right now is a good spot for him. I'm very comfortable. But, you know, for the benefit for the rest of the drafts that I have coming up at the 112 spot, probably going to stop talking right now about my strategy.
That's the trick with doing this is that you have to talk about what you do and then you end up in drafts with people who listen to the show.
I'm thinking like two drafts ahead. Like, I'm definitely at that 111, 112 spot. You know, let me be quiet right now.
You end up with drafts and in drafts with people who listen to the show and all of a sudden your whole world gets flipped upside down when a guy that you love gets snatched two picks ahead of you.
They actually reach on him and it's like, come on, bro.
It is the worst. The absolute stone worst. You mentioned he is at wide receiver 10 right now. And this is always the question I sort of ask myself when I talk about as a player being underdrafted, you know, should you move him up? It's like, well, who do you move him ahead of?
Yeah.
And as I look at the names, I guess maybe you could make a case for Davante Adams, but, you know, I wouldn't be upset if Davante went ahead of him. I don't know. Maybe you make a case for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it can go sort of either way. So I do think 10 is kind of the spot for him, but man, if he really does become more of a downfield pass
catcher,
that's
going to be disgusting. It's going to be bad.
Disgusting. And especially it's gonna be unfair. Once Jameson Williams is back from his suspension, that gives them a couple of guys who can be big chunk play guys.
Happy for Jared offense. Goff, I will say that.
So are you? I mean, because you are a Rams fan. Like, listen, you're cool. Like, you know, I mean, I guess, look, I guess he got you a, he didn't get you a Super Bowl. He got you two-way Super Bowl. He didn't
two-way Super Bowl. But no, I'm really happy for what he's doing over there in Detroit, man. He's really upgraded his, I like to call QB IQ.
Okay.
Like his decision-making is phenomenal this past season. He hasn't thrown an interception since, I think, November 9th.
Wow.
9. Like, he actually stepped up to the plate this season with the weapons that he was given. And I think they take another step forward, you know, going into this next season.
And I think what's amazing about that is that was sort of the knock on him when he left LA was that, you know, he really relied on Sean McVay
yeah,
as a crutch to kind of get him through. But he really seems to kind of be coming into his own in Detroit. I mean, I think for fantasy, we know he's always going to be kind of a, you know, high-end QB2.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he's doing for the Lions offense, It's looked good.
Hey, I'm ready for week one versus the Chiefs. He's going to put up a lot of points. I'll tell you that.
Man, that is going to be an interesting fantasy potential smash spot.
Yeah.
With those two offenses. Over to Cincinnati. The Bengals reportedly could look to add a veteran free agent running back if Joe Mixon's contract can't be resolved. The Bengals would like, ideally, for Mixon to restructure, to take a pay cut. Look, I've been on record as saying I am pro player. I want these dudes to get all they can. If you can get the bag, go get
cash
the bag.
Money. Yeah.
But, you know, that aside, the Bengals want to sort of restructure. You know, they're looking around at what the free agent market is. I mean, with the guys you still have out there, right? Like Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook,
yeah,
Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, some of the names that are still out there in free agency. If things don't go the way they want, there's still some rumblings that maybe they could move on from Mixon and try to go get somebody else.
Yeah.
I feel like, Laquan, after the NFL draft, when the Bengals didn't really add any pieces to that backfield, we were all like, okay, well, it's cool now. Like, Mixon's locked in.
Yeah.
Now there's some kind of uncertainty. When you look and you get to the spot where Mixon is potentially coming off the board, how have you handled that?
I felt comfortable taking Mixon as my RB2 because, like, he's falling as far as like the fourth round. And I think that's a safe spot when you're drafting a guy that has like 260 plus touches on the table. I mean, coming off a career high in targets, reception, you know, receiving yards, and he finished second on his team in red zone targets. So it looks like they got him involved heavily in that passing game last season. So his involvement in the passing game is why I'm rolling the dice on him. And you can also go running back on that turn. Like if you're in that, you know, late fourth round spot, like that early fifth round, and you can grab a Kenneth Walker, Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, et cetera, guys that are still available there, guys that could potentially outperform their ADP. So Mixon's ADP is down right now because of the off-field issues and the question with his contract. And even if they do add a veteran, like this guy finished RB6 last season, and I think he's capable to being a top 10 running back again, you know, if things go all well with the contract reconstruction and stuff.
I think when you look at Joe Mixon, the idea this year that he really could add to his pass catching ability is kind of intriguing, right? Mm-hmm. Samaje Perine isn't there anymore. Yep. He's moved on. And so a lot of those targets that previously had gone toward Perine, you know, they're not all going to get funneled to Joe Mixon, but I think a good chunk of them potentially can. You mentioned the off-field stuff. There is the belief that a suspension potentially could be coming. We have no idea how long at that point. My only frustration with Joe Mixon is that the week-to-week is so hard
to deal with. Hold your
breath. I mean, I always say this. I like roller coasters. I prefer them at amusement parks and not on my fantasy roster because, you know, I'm looking last year at some of the weekly finishes for Joe Mixon. 8, 19, 42, 14, 28, 11, 11, 24, 1. You know, like this is life with Joe Mixon, right?
Yeah.
Like, great. Like the 1 is awesome. The 8 is awesome. Can we avoid the 42s in there? How about you just give me a collection of like 9s? Right? Listen, like, I'd be okay with that.
He keeps the relationship spicy. Like, you never know. Like, he's that partner.
I don't spicy.
he keeps you guessing. He keeps you on your toes. And I like him as a RB2. He's like my best RB2, you know, since, you know, Chris Carson isn't in the league anymore. He's kind of my replacement guy. You know what I mean?
I haven't heard that name.
Yeah, I know, man. Shout out Chris Carson. But, like, I really feel as though, man, like, this is a safe spot in that fourth round. And he's bouncing between the fourth and fifth round. I've seen him going. So I feel as though at that point, your running backs are pretty much locked up. You know who's your gonna go to guy. So you got to roll the dice sometimes, man.
Speaking of which, you mentioned him coming off the board in like the fourth or fifth round, which is about accurate when I've been drafted, what I've seen. Does this mean the RB dead zone is gone, or has it just moved to a different spot?
I think it moved to a different spot. It definitely did. I mean, throughout the years, it's always different, but this one is kind of just like, ooh, wait, are we here? Are we in the dead zone?
Yeah, I mean, because look. Last year, 2 years ago, fourth, fifth round was a bunch of guys that you weren't really in love with.
No.
They would get drafted, and then afterwards you would feel kind of queasy about it. But now we're talking about getting Joe Mixon, you know, a quality back, as you mentioned, potentially an RB2 in that fourth or fifth round. So I guess it's sort of shifted a little bit where that.
end up there. Like, how did I get here?
Right. Exactly. Man. Over to Chicago. Justin Fields says the chemistry with his new wide receiver, DJ Moore, came on quickly in minicamp. Now, I know where we're taking Justin Fields, right? He's coming off the board as a top five quarterback.
Yeah. I love that
situations.
For him.
DJ Moore, right now, wide receiver 26. This is an offense that, you know, didn't throw the ball super well last year. Fields is still developing as a passer.
Yeah.
For Moore, wide receiver 26, too high, too low, just right. What do you think, Goldilocks?
I think it's just right, man. Like, wide receiver 26, like, he's bouncing between that fifth and sixth round. And at that point, he's either my second or third wide receiver on my roster. So I kind of feel comfortable with that because we know he's the alpha target over there and he will be fed whenever the Bears do decide to throw. But I do get very uncomfortable with him as my wide receiver one, as my first wide receiver on my roster. And, you know, with those team builds that you do take Drake London in the third round and with a high target share, but they're both on very low pass volume offenses. So I get a little skeptical when I get there into that realm of like thinking about DJ Moore as my first wide receiver.
Yeah, I definitely don't want him as my wide receiver one, without a doubt, just because the pass volume is going to be low. And even if he gets a significant number, significant percentage of those targets, it still puts a little bit of a ceiling on what he could do. All right, so let's play a little game of who'd you rather. DJ Moore or Christian Kirk?
Ooh, man, I'm going Christian Kirk, man.
All right, DJ Moore or Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, man. I might go DJ Moore here.
Really?
I might.
See, I'm an Ayuk guy.
I know myself. You're an Ayuk guy.
I'm an Ayuk guy.
I know you're going to go that guy.
I am. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to have a huge season this year. One more. DJ Moore or Mike Williams?
Ooh. Might go Mike Williams. The roll of dice on the injury history because this Chargers offense is going to be explosive this year.
I think so. I know some folks are big on Quentin Johnston.
Oh, yeah. He's waiting in the wind. He'll get his turn.
Exactly. One other thing about the Bears offense. Last year, Justin Fields, 2,242 passing yards. Mm-hmm. What are your expectations passing wise for Fields this year?
I mean, man, looking at last year, I do expect the team to increase their pass volume because they were dead last in 2022 with only 22 pass attempts per game, dead last in receptions per game with only 13. That's nasty work to really look at. But you got this new shiny toy in DJ Moore, and we're hearing that the chemistry's built. We're hearing that Justin Fields is light years ahead of where he was last year. So I'm going to go with 3,100 passing yards with a top six QB finish.
So he gets over 3,100 yards. Yeah, he gets over 33,000 yards, rather. That sounds about like the ceiling for me.
Yeah.
I was going to put him more around 2,800 yards.
Yeah.
But again, you're still getting 800-900 rushing yards.
Oh, yeah. That's on the table.
Right. I mean, that's sort of what you're kind of hoping for as a baseline. And then mm-hmm. whatever you get, you know, passing-wise, anything above, I think, 2,500 feels sort of like a bonus for him.
Absolutely.
And hopefully DJ Moore sort of helps in that regard. Last piece of news, because I always like throwing Taysom Hill stuff in here because it makes my brain itch, and I hope it does the same for you all. Reports that Taysom Hill is working toward an expanded role as a receiver in 2023 because, you know, he couldn't just make our lives miserable by taking food off of Alvin Kamara's plate. Now he's got to go, you know, grazing off somebody else's lunch. Chris Olave is, everybody's drafting Chris Olave. We 100%. Love him. He's, you know, second round guy, probably in a lot of drafts. But how are you approaching the Saints wide receivers in the non-Chris Olave division?
I tell you right now, I'm fading Michael Thomas. I'm just not ready for that roller coaster you spoke about because that partner just has not been available for 2 years. So I'm mostly unavailable to Michael Thomas right now. But Juwan Johnson's an interesting grab in those later rounds. I like Rashid Shaheed, but he's one of those players I'll root for from a distance on my buddy's roster. On the weeks that I'm not facing him, he's like housing a touchdown here and there. But, you know, I got to be honest, like I really only have interest in Chris Olave in this offense because I think him and Derek Carr are going to develop something so special that downfield ball is going to be great and Chris Olave is going to be flying all over the field. So to be honest, you really be throwing the dice on some of these other guys that's in that wide receiver core.
I want Chris Olave. That might be it.
Yeah.
That might be it. Here's the thing. If I do enough, and I'm slowly doing best ball drafts in here. And I feel like if I do enough of them, I'm sure Michael Thomas will show up somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe a Rashid Shaheed will show up somewhere. But I'm not going to be excited about it. you know, Derek Carr is good enough. We know he can support multiple pass catchers. We saw it before, you know, when they had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. There's just no one here.
That can
if you could convince me Michael Thomas was fully healthy and ready to go again.
Which you cannot.
You can't.
No.
I would be back in. I'd be all right, let's go. But you can't promise that for me. And so that makes me nervous.
Yeah, I mean, they have the Bryan Edwards, you know, Mr. T.O.
when he was drafted by the Raiders, I really did try that rookie year to get in on Bryan Edwards.
Did you?
And even year two, I was like, all right, let's give it another shot. You know, he was banged up that first year. Like, I'm out, man.
I'm out.
I've let go of the rope on Bryan Edwards. Nice. I wish him the best, but I'm not going to draft him on my fantasy team. All right. That gets us through the news. Let's turn our attention, though, to some of these black box offenses. I picked four offenses from last year that weren't particularly very good. And, you know, let's dive in and see sort of how we feel about some of these. So I started with the Rams, because we got Laquan here, who is our resident Rams fan here on the fantasy side of things, pulled out three recent headlines regarding the Rams in this offense. One, Cam Akers will be a, quote, central figure in the team's offense. The next one is that the Rams, quote, feel confident in Van Jefferson. I am a self-proclaimed Van stan. At least I have been. And then the third one, Sean McVay saying Puka Nacua has been, quote, really impressive. So let's kind of take this in totality, right? The Rams last year, it was not great.
Not.
Got worse when Cooper Kupp went down. The offensive line was a shambles.
I cried. I definitely cried.
The offensive line was a shambles last year. You know, late in the season, you have, you know, Matt Stafford getting beat up. The whole thing was awful.
It was rough.
Let's start though in the backfield, because, and I've said this before, I believe it was our pal Neil Dutton who coined the phrase that Cam Akers and Sean McVay were the Ross and Rachel of the NFL. It was on again, it was off again.
We were on a break.
Yeah, you know, like I don't know who plays the, you know, Aisha Tyler character, if that's Daryl Henderson, whatever, it's a whole thing. Now he's back, because it seemed like no matter how hard the Rams tried, they kept coming back to Cam Akers because they couldn't find another real solution.
Yeah.
How confident are you with, you know, Sean McVay, all sunshine and light, that Cam Akers is the guy there in the Rams backfield?
Like, I believe that their relationship is good right now. I think they're back on the same page because Akers finished strong last season. Yes. And man, it was great to see him put points back on the board. I mean, weeks 13 through 18, Akers was RB5, 18 fantasy points per game, 5.2 yards per carry, and 6 touchdowns. Completely night and day how he started that season. So I think with them on the same page, they're going to try to keep that momentum, try to keep the relationship strong and communicate, because it was nasty work last season in the beginning. It was looking really, really bad, but it's good to see that, you know, things are looking up for Cam Akers.
They are looking up for Cam Akers. And he's a guy that I've actually been drafting in a few spots simply because and this was before today's news, by the way, that Sony Michel is coming back.
Yeah.
But before that, I looked around and I said, look, the guy behind him is Kyren Williams. And last year, there were a couple of weeks where they tried to make Kyren Williams the running back one and make him the starter. And he still got outperformed by Akers.
Played
more snaps. He still got outperformed. So I can't see a situation where they're really going to try and force a committee. I think some of these other guys will get opportunities.
Yeah. I think this season we'll see more of Akers just with the addition of the offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur. Like, I definitely think he can get more involved in the passing game. I mean, that's all we've been waiting for Akers. We've seen him have flashes catching passes out of the backfield, but can I nerd out real quick over Mike LaFleur? I mean, look, the offenses over the years that he's been involved with, like if we look at the Jets, 2021 to 2022, Jets were third in running back targets per game with 8. And then 2017 to 2020 for San Francisco, he was the running backs were 5th in running back targets with 8. And 2017, Carlos Hyde, he finished 5th in targets among running backs. Like, that just sounds crazy to me.
Right.
And then 2015, with his time with the Falcons, we have a Devontae Freeman finish RB1. Like, I'm buying whatever he's selling McVay on this offense, and hopefully McVay is buying and executing this on Sundays. I mean, I can only see Akers, ADP slightly and slowly, surely going up. Once we start seeing those tapes of seeing him catching passes out the backfield, like, it's going to be great, man.
Nothing like training camp video to, man, just skyrocket a dude's ADP. That's nothing like it. I will say all this. The other thing I'd throw in is the offensive line's still not going to be great.
Get the ball out fast, man.
You've got an immobile quarterback in Matthew
Stafford. Get that ball out.
Could be a lot of panic targets
for
Cam Akers this year. That's possible as well. Speaking of the passing game in Los Angeles, we know Cooper Kupp is going to be a target monster because that's just what he does. Who's the number two target behind him there?
I've gone over this. I've looked at the notes and I've gone over this in my head trying to figure out who's the number two. And I want to say it's Van Jefferson, but I'm not 100% sure right now. Like, through the past years, around this time, we kind of already know who the number two is. We're trying to figure out who's number three. But it's like, man, I want to say Van Jefferson, but his health is definitely in the back of my mind when I'm drafting him as like the number two target. My dark horse, honestly, is Cam Akers, but we already spoke on him. But I would have to say it's hard to say Van Jefferson when you have Puka in the shadows just building this hype, man.
I'm also kind of throwing a little bit of something toward Tyler Higbee.
There you go.
Offense, yeah. Potentially. Remember a couple years ago, he had that finish to the season where
2019,
he was like,
five games.
He was like super Gronk for a while,
man, you got broken Todd Gurley. You got a Josh Reynolds that wasn't developed. And, you know, guys were injured and banged up. Of course he's going to have that game.
I mean, I just remember he ate. We were all like, Tyler Higbee's going to be a top three tight end next year. And that didn't really happen.
No.
But I do think he's going to see a lot of work. I think Cam Akers is definitely in the running for that number two target.
Definitely a dark horse, yeah.
But it really is sort of wide open, which brings me to my third question about the Rams. So I wrote it as, is there an under-the-radar guy you're targeting? What I really meant is, where are you drafting Puka Nacua?
Man, Nacua, man, he. When I watch his tape, man, he can be really used anywhere on the field. He's doing end-arounds, jet sweeps, and going downfield as a contested catch, a wide receiver. So I know Sean McVay is loving this guy through camp, and especially with Cooper Kupp giving him praise as well. And once I seen that jersey reveal of number 17, I was like, oh, yeah. This is Robert Woods. This is Robert Woods' time, baby. So I can definitely see him having some type of impact, but I'm not going to say he's going to have an impact on day one. He's more of those guys like, you're happy you have stash and he's showing up on the back end of the season. Gives us a little sneak peek of year two production. You know what I mean? So I definitely like tagging him in the 15th round, maybe. But this hype is building, man. You might have to reach on him.
Yeah, I have drafted him a few times late, and as long as he stays kind of around there
in
the bottom part of drafts,
anything beyond 10, I'm good.
Right. I mean, so if he starts moving up, then I'm gonna be out. Is this gonna work out better than Tutu Atwell?
Absolutely. Right. And I kind of want to pat myself on the back about that guy. I'm like, oh, he's been drafted to be special teams. He's definitely he's gonna run that nine route. Like, as soon as I seen the DeSean Jackson signing, he's just gonna teach him that nine route, burners, get open, separation, stuff like that. But, you know, shout out to Tutu and best ball.
Shout out to Tutu and best ball. Let's move over to the Steelers. Offensively, they were not great last year. They were painful to watch. I compared them on the show to the movie The Fan. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Fan from the mid-90s. Quick story. I remember in college, my roommate was like, hey, let's go to the movies. I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, what do you want to see? He said, let's go see The Fan. He's like, it's got Robert De Niro. It's got Wesley Snipes. Ooh. It's about baseball. And I'm like, that seems like a great idea.
How did I not see this?
It was terrible. The movie was terrible. And like, it had all of these great elements to it, things that I thought I would love. It was an awful, awful movie.
Wow.
And that was kind of like the Steelers in that they've got Deontay Johnson and they've got Najee Harris and they've got Pat Freiermuth. They were really not fun to watch as an offense last year.
Depressing. Very depressing.
I mean, if you really want to just make yourself ill for a couple hours, go rent The Fan. Like, I'm sure you can find it on a streaming service for
Amazon Prime
$3.99 or something like that. Go check it out. It's not good. Anyway, the Steelers. A few headlines about them. One, could Jalen Warren see more work in 2023? He apparently looked very good in minicamp.
Yeah.
And the talk is it's going to be hard for the Steelers to keep him off the field like they tried to last year. Headline two, Allen Robinson, quote, impressed in every facet.
Ew.
I see your face.
Right? Kind of cringing
saw him
right
last
now.
Last year with the Rams. You remember what that was? We all remember what that was last year.
Oh, Lord.
But he impressed in every facet at minicamp. Three, Steelers wide receiver coach Frisman Jackson expects a, quote, big jump from George Pickens in year two. So let's start back here at the running back spot.
Yeah,
Jalen Warren getting more work. Najee Harris was not quite as productive last year as he had been in his first
couple of touches, but...
Well, part of it was that first year, he had a ton of targets because you had Ben Roethlisberger, who was just broken down, couldn't throw the ball downfield, so he dumped it off to Najee Harris. That went away when Roethlisberger sort of went away.
Did.
Now we're talking about Jalen Warren getting more work potentially. Should we be fading Najee, or is this just an overreaction?
I wouldn't fade him. I mean, put it like this. You take Najee, you handcuff Jalen Warren. I mean, he's a stud. We saw some flashes last season where he's catching passes out the backfield, getting outside, hitting the edge hard, jumping over people, which is crazy. Right? I mean, who's this guy, Todd Gurley? But I feel like he's a guy that I'll be glad that I got him in the later rounds if at any point Najee Harris is a no-go for the game. Like, he's going to get the work. He's going to be fed. They want to get this guy involved. So why not the opportunity, even though if Najee is going to miss some time, to like really make him the workhorse to see what you got in this young guy? I mean, it'll be a no-brainer plug and play if Najee's out. He's an angry runner, and I love angry runners.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, first the first year, he had 94 targets. That number came down to 53 last year.
Yep.
He's given you over 1,200 scrimmage yards in both years. He's given you 10 total touchdowns in both years. But the number of touches went down significantly. I would think this year, if they're really serious about putting Jalen Warren on the field more often, I think you see Najee's touches go under 300. He was at 313 last year. I see that number potentially dipping down. Maybe you're looking at, you know, 275.
Maybe Najee's ADP needs to come down a little bit.
You know,
more.
And right now he's the running back 12, I believe. Just it look, is.
15 might be better.
But again, this is the thing, right? Looking around, let's do who would you rather again? Najee Harris or Travis Etienne?
Travis Etienne.
Najee Harris or Jahmyr Gibbs?
Ooh, giddy up. Give me Gibbs. Give me Gibbs, man. Yeah.
All right, here's what we talk about. Najee Harris or Joe Mixon?
Oh, God.
Since we just talked about Joe
Come
Mixon.
Come on, Marcus. This is hard, actually.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to make this easy on you.
I mean,
what do you think this is?
I might go Najee. I might go
Najee. Probably go Najee over Joe Mixon. Maybe that's where the dead zone is hitting. But sort of round, early round four.
Four-ish. Yeah.
Which, again, brings me back to maybe the dead zone is sort of floating.
It's floating because when I think about that fifth round, I'm still seeing Kenneth Walker on the board or Miles Sanders, and these are guys that I think are going to outperform their ADP.
I don't know. Over to the passing game though in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett, we all I think are agreed that the success or lack of success in fantasy with the pass catchers really hinges on Kenny Pickett, what he can do. How many pass catchers do we think he can legitimately support? I mean, like, how many guys, let's just say, you know, for wide receiver, let's call it a top, 36 finish, making a wide receiver three.
Yeah.
For Pat Freiermuth, a top 12 finish. I mean, how many different pass catchers can he support?
I do expect him to take a step forward. I want to say three comfortable, and that's with Pat Freiermuth and Deontay Johnson. That third, I'm questioning. It could be Pickens. It could be Robinson. It just gets a little interesting when we're trying to play the guessing game of if Kenny Pickett's actually going to take this step forward. Right. Like, we just need him to literally take one step forward, because I think he finished strong, you know, on the back end of that season. And I really feel as though he learned a lot. And this offseason, I mean, we just have to wait until training camp to hear the reports of his decision making, if he's able to read guys, what chemistry he's building the most. But I think Deontay Johnson's the alpha here, regardless, though.
I'm going to go with two. I think Johnson for sure. I think Freiermuth. I think the rest of that is going to be split up between Pickens and Allen Robinson. They're going to sort Najee of battle Harris, each other. Najee Harris. They're all going to sort of cannibalize each other for the rest of those targets. I think anything more than that feels very optimistic. This was a team that was sort of middle of the pack with pass attempts. They were tied for 16th with the Broncos.
But where are the touchdowns, man?
They did not have a lot of passing touchdowns.
Where are those touchdowns?
That number was bad. They had the fewest passing touchdowns of any team in the league at 12, which, by the way, also has impacted, I think, Deontay Johnson's
hard
ADP, which
is fine.
Yeah, well, so my next question is, are you buying into the George Pickens hype? Because about a month ago, George Pickens was going ahead of Deontay Johnson in best ball drafts. And then, you know, I don't know who the first person was to point this out, but everybody's like, what are we doing here?
Like, why is this happening?
Right. And then it's flipped the other way. We're now Johnson is going ahead of Pickens and the ADP is starting to come up on Johnson. I think basically what happened is people looked around and, you know, a lot of the people who were in the know who watched tape were like, hey, man, this dude is a good route runner. He gets open. He gets targets. Mm-hmm. And then people who, you know, maybe are more casual or didn't watch all that stuff looks like, yeah, but he had zero touchdowns.
Yeah.
Right. And like you can listen to all these tape grinders, all these, you know, these people who do charting, who do really good work, who are like, yeah, he's really, really good at this. And then somebody comes back and is like, yeah, zero touchdowns. What do you want me to do about that?
I mean, oh, man. It's crazy.
But it's a long way of basically saying, I know you like Deontay Johnson. I like Deontay Johnson. But George Pickens is a highlight reel waiting to happen. Are you buying that?
It's a fade for me at ADP. And like, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying he's not going to take a step forward in year two, but it's not a large enough step for me to pay that price at ADP. Mm-hmm. I know the catch was amazing. I know we all watched that like 20 times, but right. There's a lot more going on behind that. And like, if we look at the games where Kenny Pickett in the driver's seat, I mean, Pickens only had a 14% target share behind Pat Freiermuth with 17% target share. So Pickens is going ahead of a guy who has the most games with 10 plus targets since 2020 with 30 games. It's kind of crazy to me. That's Deontay Johnson, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. George Pickens is what I like to think of as a red zone receiver. And I don't mean like inside the 20-yard line. I mean, as in like Scott Hansen's 7 hours of commercial-free football red zone. In the sense that like, if you're watching red zone, you're not seeing every drive. You're not seeing every play necessarily of a game, but you are seeing the highlights. So when George Pickens does something amazing, it shows up on red zone. It shows up on your Twitter feed. It shows up on all the highlight shows. And so that is what you think. You're like, man, this dude must be amazing. And then you go look at the numbers and it's like, you know, three for 37. One of them happened to be that ridiculous highlight reel catch. Whereas, you know, again, Deontay Johnson is the guy who's moving the chains. He's putting in the work. He's getting the targets. He's getting the catches. But because he didn't catch one in the painted area last year, everybody's a little bit down on him.
Which is fine. We all love touchdowns.
We all love touchdowns. I get it, man. It's the whole name of the game. but sometimes you can be good without scoring touchdowns.
Exactly.
It really is a thing. We got a couple more teams we're going to dive into. But first, we'll take a quick break, come back, do more of some black box offenses, and then we'll play a little bit of keep, trade, or cut. Ooh. That's coming up next on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Looking into some black box offenses, offenses that weren't particularly good in 2022, and trying to decipher what they might be in 2023, at least for fantasy purposes. Down to the Music City, Tennessee Titans. Your headlines for the Titans. Tyjae Spears has been, quote, one of the most active players this offseason. That made my heart flutter because I have been drafting.
What does that actually mean, though?
I mean, let's get active. Like he's just, you know,
he's just everywhere on the
he's
field.
He's just doing a lot of things.
Okay.
Know? I mean, it could be eyewash, but you know, he's running around and being active. And that's okay. Second headline, Treylon Burks has been Ryan Tannehill's favorite target at OTAs.
Or only
I would
target.
That he is Ryan Tannehill's only target.
There you go.
At OTAs. But you know, whatever. We won't nitpick there. And the third one, Malik Willis. Makes minicaps camp surge to be the QB2 over Will Levis.
This is
that
actually
doesn't mean
interesting.
He's officially the QB2,
yeah,
but he's making a push to potentially be the QB2. So I asked this question. I asked it this way, and it's probably not the best phrasing of it, but I think you'll sort of understand what I'm getting at here, right?
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, he's still El Tractor Cito. He's still the focal point of this Tennessee offense,
yeah.
But he is getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a ton of work. There is talk that maybe he could be moved at the trade deadline if things aren't going well for the Titans. Tyjae Spears has been one of the, quote, most active players this offseason.
Yeah.
So I'm asking is, should we be fading Derrick Henry? But I guess the better way is, should we be concerned about Derrick Henry, at least in Tennessee?
I think concern when you're drafting... just get your expectations in order, but never fade the king. I mean, you know, one thing's for sure, Def taxes Derrick Henry 300 plus touches. Like, I think we kind of understand that. And I was actually surprised to see the career high in receptions, targets, and receiving yards last season, which is great. But I think you bring in Tyjae Spears to kind of take some of that load off. But I'm still drafting the king. He's still good to bust off a 76-yard run. You know, so I'm still in on Derrick Henry, but it is interesting to hear that they're might be trying to trade him before the deadline if Tennessee is not going in the direction they want to go.
I mean, yeah, he's getting near the end of the contract. I think they would prefer to if they could get something in return for him.
Definitely.
That. You know, I've been glad that they decided to throw him the football because that was the one knock against him. Look.
Yeah.
For all the years he
hurt all
you,
of us.
You know, 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards, giving you double digit touchdowns. That was amazing. And I'm like, why don't they just They don't even have to make him a route runner, right? Just split him, just throw him a little screen, yeah, right? Like,
he's a tank.
Put him in space and let DBs try to tackle him. Like, yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? It was like suddenly the light came on. They're like, hey, man, we got this big old dude. Like, why don't we just give him the ball in space and let DBs try to tackle him? And I was like, man, how'd you come up with that one? You know, so again, last year, 41 targets, 33 catches, 398 yards. Like, yeah, that's not going to blow you away. But when you add that to what he gives you as a runner,
on the ground, geez,
that made him so much better.
It did.
I'm curious to see if Tennessee continues that or if, as you mentioned, Tyjae Spears sort of carves out that pass catching role on third down there. Treylon Burks, you mentioned, has been Ryan Tannehill's favorite target at OTAs. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about Treylon Burks? I want to get excited about him. I can't. And like,
he's that not sexy pick to me.
Smart people have given me all sorts of reasons why Treylon Burks can be a thing. Like, I mean, really do. Like, look, you know,
like, can he be a thing as a player? Can he be a thing in Tennessee? That's where it needs to get kind of clear.
That is, you know, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah. Because like, he's more of a player that I need to wait and see. You know what I mean? Like, we saw the flashes last season, but this is another low passing volume offense with questions at the quarterback group. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, yeah, I understand that he's a premier player for them, and I really love that, you know, he's healthy now, and hopefully he can stay healthy and stay on the field. But we might see, you know, a carousel of quarterbacks this year. We might see all three of them on the field at one point.
I mean, yeah, like I said, I want to get excited about Treylon Burks. I just can't. You know, people have told me about, you know, his targets per route run, you know, his ability to get open and you know, earn targets. I've seen, you know, threads of clips about what he does well, what he doesn't do well.
Yeah.
I just look at the Titans passing game and I'm like,
It's lacking. It's lacking.
And I really want to be excited about him. I just can't. I think I've drafted him once or twice, but I don't get hyped.
I just don't see much of the hype, to be honest. I mean, the flashes are good, but this is another, like I said, low passing volume. I mean, 28th in pass percentage last year, by the way, 50.9%, 28th. So I'm just looking like they're not going to be throwing the ball enough for it to be constant flashes. This seems like another season of flashes. Hopefully he stays healthy, and another season of less than 10 fantasy points per game.
And I just, you know, I remember the whole selling point for him in draft season was he is a poor man's AJ Brown. That was, you know,
you're not going to sell me saying a poor man anything.
I think the mental hurdle for me is that the Titans moved on from actual AJ Brown. Yeah.
Why not get both?
To get discount AJ Brown. And I'm like, why? Yeah. You know,
why'd you do that?
It's like, hey, mom, like, can we get AJ Brown? And the Titans, like, we have AJ Brown at home. Like, just like, why? Yeah. I don't. So I want to get excited about Treylon Burks. And here's the thing. I will sit here, and if I am wrong, if we get to the midpoint of the season and he is balling out and he looks like a, you know, wide receiver two, I will sit here and tell you that, like, I swung and missed on it.
Yeah.
I can't get myself excited about Treylon Burks. I can't. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill, as far as I'm concerned, is going to enter the season as the starter unless something catastrophic happens. Will Ryan Tannehill be the starter all season long in Tennessee?
No.
Ooh.
And that's why I'm fading him.
About that too. Like, no hesitation.
Listen, I think there's frustration in that quarterback room, and them drafting Will Levis, it kind of just put me in a way where, like, I usually wait for a guy like Ryan Tannehill. Because remember, he was a sneaky rusher. Like, he was being up in that top 12 quarterback conversations because he was running the ball and getting rushing touchdowns. But I just feel as though, man, like, I cannot wait for quarterbacks and draft Ryan Tannehill if there's uncertainty if he's the starter for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think what potentially could happen is the Titans get off to a bad start.
Yeah.
They get off to a bad start, and either Tannehill, they decide, again, do they want to move him? Do they want to try to trade him to a team that needs a quarterback? Because someone's quarterback is going to get hurt. It's just inevitable.
It's just what happens.
Do they try to move him? Or is it just so bad that the Titans look around and say, hey, you know what? Let's just see what Will Levis has. Let's just put him in here. I think those are very much in the realm of possibility. But I do think for at least the first month, 6 weeks, even 2 months.
Their bye week is week 7, I believe. Yeah. So you get
2 months at least, I think.
At least,
the starter until we two really have this.
I'm just not drafting him.
I'm not drafting Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
No, I'm not drafting
him. We're not doing that this year.
But who are we? We're drafting what? Derrick Henry? We're drafting I guess we're drafting Treylon Burks.
I guess.
We're drafting Chig. I'm drafting Tyjae Spears.
Are we talking Chig?
Chig. We are drafting Chig. I forgot about
we're
Chig.
We're drafting Chig.
Yes.
I guess. Yeah.
That's about it. last one, and I had a tough time coming up with a fourth one, but I settled on the Washington Commanders. Ron Rivera says Sam Howell will enter training camp as the starter.
Love that.
Rivera also says Antonio Gibson could be a, quote, matchup nightmare for opponents. And there's some speculation that the Commanders could feature tight ends heavily in the passing game. So let's start at the quarterback. Sam Howell right now projected to be the starter, but Jacoby Brissett is hanging around there in Washington.
Yeah.
Who is your preferred Washington quarterback? Not because you're drafting that player, but because they could potentially elevate everybody else around him.
I think if you want to win games, you go with Sam Howell. I mean, I like what I saw from Sam Howell. I've quietly been on this hype train. I mean, watching preseason last season, he's so cool, calm, and collected in the pocket and under pressure and has the ability to take off upfield and get those extra yards on the ground that you like. And I like what he put on tape. I mean, during preseason, you know, he had 115.7 passer rating on the run and 111.7 passer rating under pressure as per Next Gen Stats. So super flex leagues, I'm targeting him as my QB3. He's a solid player with plenty of upside. Yeah. Right. I'm buying all into it.
Yeah. I would like him at least as the quarterback. I don't know if I feel comfortable enough drafting him even as a QB3. I think for my third QB, I'm trying to take shots on, you know, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, somebody like
Trey
that.
Lance.
What was that?
Trey Lance?
No.
No.
No, side note, why is Trey Lance going ahead of Brock Purdy in drafts? Like, I don't understand.
That's another question mark in my head. But
I mean, I know why. Like, everybody wants that upside, right? They want him to have that Justin Fields kind of season. But you can't do that from the sideline.
No.
And
can't.
All signs are pointing toward Brock Purdy being ready to go
for week one. Which is great news.
It's great news, right? And so that means that the potential value of production for Trey Lance goes down. Yet I know for a while, I haven't checked recently, but for a while, Trey Lance is going ahead of Brock Purdy, and it frustrated the hell out of me.
Yeah.
but anyway, my point being, I think I'd rather have Sam Howell because I feel like he's at least maybe going to be a little bit more aggressive in pushing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett is a nice, safe quarterback, but if I'm drafting Terry McLaurin or Jahan Dotson or somebody, I don't want safe. I want you taking shots down the field, especially because, look, if I have a wide receiver or a tight end or a running back in this offense, interceptions don't necessarily hurt me. I mean, they limit possessions, and that part is bad, but I'm not losing points over it. So take your shots. I mean, that's why we love Taylor Heinicke. I mean, he was going to take his shots down the field.
Love Taylor Heinicke.
And it was great. So I guess for that reason, Sam Howell is probably the guy I want. Hype train or smokescreen? This is the Antonio Gibson breakout season.
Oh, God.
That looks like a smoke. The way your face just turned, I'm guessing you're going to say smokescreen.
It's definitely a smokescreen, man. I feel like these reports are so annoying at this point, and they all seem like lies. I don't know what's
going
on.
But now Eric Bieniemy is there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I was on the Antonio Gibson train last year listening to reports and stuff that, you know, he's in the doghouse and all this other stuff. Brian 50 Cent Robinson, by the way. I think it's a smokescreen because we saw both these guys kind of kill each other's value last year, because when it comes to the red zone duty, they split it in completely in half. And like, that's the part of the field where I don't like coaches playing with my touchdowns, man. like assign a role and let's get it done. And, you know, Antonio Gibson, you know, reports are usually seasonal at this point.
I think I'm buying back in.
Are you?
I'm ready to get my heart broke again.
I'll get the ice cream in the notebook.
I think there's going to be more targets there. Again, I talked about Joe Mixon maybe getting more targets with no Samaje Perine. Mm-hmm. J.D. McKissick's not in Washington anymore. Ooh. So maybe some of those targets end up going to Antonio Gibson. There has been talk that the Commanders want to play faster. They want to be a little bit more aggressive in the passing game. And so maybe this means more for Antonio Gibson. And look, I get where you are. I totally do. Right? We have had these. My frustration has always been that for Ron Rivera, every time he got a running back who could catch passes, he would always compare him to Christian McCaffrey. And I'm like, it's not Christian McCaffrey. He's just a running back who catches the football. Exactly. Like, those are two different things. So I'm not, let me just preface it. I'm not expecting him to turn into Christian McCaffrey or Austin Eckler or Saquon. But I do think he could have a pass catching role in this offense. Yeah. And at where the ADP is right now, I'm okay with it.
He's safe.
Talking about, you know, eighth, ninth round.
Yeah, I'm just being bitter.
For Antonio Gibson, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I also sort of like Brian Robinson. I've sort of diversified. I've taken shots at both of those guys.
Really? Yeah.
Again, because of where the ADP is.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe I'm drinking the Eric Bieniemy Kool-Aid a little bit. Maybe things get better in Washington. But I just sort of like them.
Yeah. I like Brian Robinson a lot. He's one of those pure runners. He's explosive. Like if he breaks to that second level, it's probably going to the house. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have to hope that this Commanders offense is playing as aggressive they want to, and they're clicking in chemistry, and Sam Howell is making good decisions. That's what's important for this entire offense to click. But I believe in Sam Howell, you know, and I think in Antonio Gibson, like you said, with the ADP, he's safe.
Yeah.
He's safe.
That's it. He's safe. It's not really a major risk.
Yeah.
I think of drafting
him. Low risk, high reward. We'll put it like that.
Last one for Washington. Which pass catchers are you targeting in the non-Terry McLaurin division? I guess it could be better phrased as how many pass catchers? Because there are other guys, but how many are you targeting?
Jahan Dotson's definitely the clear target for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you miss out on Terry McLaurin, that's kind of how I've been doing, because I've been going after Terry like aggressive. So mm-hmm. the times where I miss him, I'm like, okay. Kind of grin a little bit when I get Jahan Dotson, because he has a strong red zone presence, deep threat. He finished strong last season too, like under the radar. Not many people were talking about him from weeks 13 and 18, 14 fantasy points per game. He was wide receiver 17 with a 23% target share. So I'd like his 2023 outlook.
I like Jahan Dotson. Any interest in Curtis Samuel? Can I interest you in a Curtis Samuel this year?
No.
any interest in a Logan Thomas?
Perhaps? Logan Thomas, man, he got to stay healthy, man. He's getting up there in age, like really up there in age. But the reports, like you said, are wanting to be more, you know, focus involvement with the tight ends. But I kind of have to see it, because there's probably, you know, a young guy on the roster that ends up popping out. You know what I mean? Like we've seen that happen in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could see, you know, Washington trying to figure out maybe something at the tight end spot and rotating a couple of guys through there. Thomas will be 32 in just a couple of weeks. So
happy birthday.
Happy early birthday, Logan Thomas. Yeah, I am, you know, obviously McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. Yeah, I feel like I get to late in the draft and I will see Curtis Samuel's name there and I'll probably just scroll.
What year is it?
Hey man, Curtis Samuel was gonna be a thing.
Yeah,
know, several years ago.
Yeah, seven more years to go.
Yeah, those. Anyway, that's our look at some black box offenses. There's probably some other ones out there that maybe we can hit before training camp starts up again. But I always do a little movie thing at the end of the show. So a little keep, trade, cut. This was a game that you have come up with.
Yeah,
that you have played.
I'm excited to play this one with you.
Just. A top line. Explain what the game is
here. All right. So it's keep, trade, cut with a twist. So we're keeping a movie thing for Florio's festival, film festival, which is dope. You know, shout out to Florio. And, you know, keep, trade, cut is basically you pick three movies, but the trade, you have to trade the actor. So you have to replace them.
Okay.
The role stays the same character. The movie stays completely the same. It's just that you're going to do a little substitution.
Okay.
Can I hit you with the first one?
Please do.
All right. Listen, three movies, the Bad Boys franchise. Mm-hmm. Men in Black franchise.
Okay.
I Am Legend. The actor, obviously, Will Smith.
Right.
But for a trade, you have to trade him out for Nick Cannon.
All right. So I think I'm keeping. Ooh, this is tough.
Yeah, I know. Because you're essentially losing two movies.
You're losing. Yeah. I'm probably going to keep I Am Legend.
Good man.
I will trade. I have to trade one of them. So I'm going to trade. I'll trade Nick Cannon for Men in Black.
Really?
Yeah, because okay. I just can't see. If I was going to trade him in Bad Boys, I can't trade him in I Am Legend. I just can't see
Nick Cannon. No, because you will ruin the movie.
It's just not going to happen.
Nothing against Nick Cannon, but no.
If I'm trading him in Bad Boys, then I feel like I also have to swing a deal for Martin Lawrence. Like, I can't have Nick Cannon and Martin Lawrence together. Like, it has to be like Nick. And that's the other part. I can't see Nick Cannon as Mike Lowry. Like, yeah. I just can't. I can't see him as Mike. Like, if we're gonna redo Bad Boys, then I think it's, you know, you're talking about like Michael B. Jordan and Kevin Hart.
There you go.
Something like that, right? But I can't see
it might Nick be a Cannon movie in the Mike mix.
Lowry. So I got to trade him in Men in Black. I could see Nick Cannon alongside Tommy Lee Jones in the whole Men in Black thing.
I think he actually made a cameo in Men in Black, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, I have to go back and look at it. So, it's a tough decision, but that means I have to cut the Bad Boys franchise, which honestly, like the first one was really good. The second one, I caught it on TV last night. I was like, sort of underwhelmed. Aside from the crush I had on Gabrielle Union for a while. And you know, I haven't seen the newest one. I'm like, it's been 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, the first one hits, man.
Yeah, the first one still slaps. Beyond that, they sort of lost me. So I'm keeping I Am Legend. I am trading Men in Black, and I am cutting Bad Boys.
That's not bad, man. That's not bad, honestly.
All right.
But essentially, you lost two, which is fine.
Yeah, which stinks.
Can we do another one?
Yeah, please.
All right, listen. You got Keanu Reeves as an actor. You got the Matrix franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Speed.
Yeah.
John Wick franchise.
Yep.
But the trade is Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So this one was fairly easy for me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say I'm cutting the Matrix franchise. It stinks. Like it hurts.
Okay.
But again, it was another one where the first one was good. The second one was okay. It went on. It was like a little bit too long, I think.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And the third one was just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I'd have to cut the Matrix. I'm keeping Speed for sure. That was one of the early selections in our Florio Film Festival.
Nice. Good movie.
So I'm keeping Speed. And I'm trading Ryan Reynolds and John Wick. Because it would sort of be like Deadpool
right? Sort of like Deadpool. This one was kind of like an alley-oop for you, really. Like,
yeah,
this was
so
easy.
I was like, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, like, I'm trading John Wick.
Yeah.
And I'm putting Ryan Reynolds there, and I think you don't really miss a beat. You have a little more humor, but it's Deadpool.
Like, I asked my wife this last night, and I told her, like, what would you do with Speed? And she said, I'll put Ryan Reynolds in there instead. And I'm like, what?
I
was like, you kind of, that movie seems like it goes straight to VHS.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know if I can see, I mean, like, you know, if it were like a Netflix release, maybe you put Ryan Reynolds in.
Maybe.
Speed. But yeah, I think it's a completely different movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, completely different.
You got one more, right?
Let's do one more. So right. Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Got Die Hard,
mm-hmm.
The Sixth Sense, and The Fifth Element. The trade is Arnold Schwarzenegger. All good movies.
So I will tell you that I am not trading Arnold in The Sixth Sense. There's no way.
Can you imagine?
You could not have Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Sixth
Sense. Can you imagine?
That would not work. So we're keeping Die Hard because I just think it's such a classic.
Is it a Christmas movie?
I've given up that fight. I was squarely on the side of it's not, but I know a losing battle when I see one. So like I'm just giving in. I'm like, fine, it's a Christmas movie. Let's just move
there
on.
You go. Good answer.
Side note. Is a Player's Ball by Outkast, the Christmas song.
Ooh.
Go back and listen to it. I'm telling you that Outkast's Player's Ball is 100% a Christmas song.
Really? All right, I got to listen to it again.
So I'm keeping Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Okay.
I am, because I can't trade Schwarzenegger in The Sixth
Sense. No, you can't.
I got to trade him in The Fifth Element, which means I have to cut The Sixth Sense.
This was a tough one, man.
That hurts my soul, but The Fifth Element, I could kind of see Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Because he's done some movie, like Total Recall, you know what I mean? Like,
I could sort of see him being Corbin Dallas a little bit there.
This was hard, man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about switching him out in Die Hard too, but like, you know, welcome to the party pal. Like, I don't know if that works.
He could hit the get to the chopper. That would be
the chopper. Like, I just, you know, like, I don't know that it quite works. So,
it doesn't.
There it is.
Six Sense would have been
cutting Six Sense, trading The Fifth Element.
Damn,
man, that was dope.
Yeah, man. I love playing these games, man. Like, yeah, our buddy Matt Harmon, I played with Adam Sandler.
I saw that you played it with Matt Harmon, which is amusing to me because Harmon's only seen like 7 movies in his entire life.
Yeah.
So the fact that you got him to play this game was pretty freaking
awesome,
amazing.
Man.
Hey, man, thanks for sitting in, dude.
Yeah, definitely, man. Anytime, man. I'm around. I'm hanging out.
Totally. We'll totally get you back on at some point, too, before you know, we get to the start of the season.
Yes,
and even we'll try to, you know, see if we can snatch you away from your research duties and get you in season a couple of times, too. We'll see how that
sounds
totally
good.
Works out. Florio will be back next week. And yeah, for those of you who are following along, our film festival selection for next week will be Independence Day because that'll be our last show before the actual Independence Day holiday. So Florio has never seen Independence Day. In fact, he confuses it with Armageddon, which is an incredibly different movie than Independence Day.
How can you?
He confuses both of them.
Would you put Nick Cannon in Independence Day?
What's that?
Would you put Nick Cannon in Independence Day instead of Will Smith?
I could see that. I could see him in Independence Day.
It's not a bad trade.
But like it's still not as good as Will Smith.
No. I don't think it's the same movie anyway, though. Probably not. It wouldn't be that bad.
But anyway, that'll be the movie next week when Florio will be back. We'll get Laquan back on at some point as well. Thanks to Josh and Susie, of course, for production assistance. And thanks to all of you for hanging out and listening to the show, as you always do. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good, live well, enjoy some movies, stay out of the heat, and we'll talk to you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.